believe, obey the gospel, my friends, go to heaven and not hell. Today is eclipse day, but I don't care. It's going to get dark, it's going to get light, and then the world's going to move on. Let's talk about the Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God gives us good doctrine, forsake not his law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Retain what the Bible says. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thine getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom is something that we should be wanting to get. We should be seeking it out. God saw fit to give us his words in a Bible. That Bible is what God says. When we seek out what the Bible says and we strive for understanding on what it says by asking him for wisdom, we get wisdom. Today, I'd like to speak to you about the digital identification. This, I'm going to be using a clip coming from a lawmaker in Australia and how the scare tactics and the things are going on in Australia regarding the digital identification. And I want to speak to this because there's a lot of Americans who hear digital identification and they either A, think, okay, the mark of the beast and the one Antichrist is going to have complete control and information over everything. That's one component, I believe. That's a fear that people have. But then there's also this Big Brother 1984 George Orwell type of thing. And so there's a fear that government is going to have all this information and thereby government's going to have all this control. So I'd like to slow things down. I'd like to play the clip. And I'd like to walk through in America what the law is. Now, Australia is a common law nation, but I did not look up their constitution because I want to keep things focused here on America. Aussies, if you're listening or you want me to, let me know and we can, you know, potentially help. But it's all about going to the authority. What is the authority, standing on that, and then declaring the law with courage and in truth and in peace and in love. Before that, I'd like to direct your attention to patriotswitch.com/Jaron. This is the best way that you can bless me and keep the ministry going. When you shop at patriotswitch.com, you change your money, your shopping from American or from globalists and from the big box stores, switch it over to American manufacturing. When that's the case, you get better products delivered right to you, no hazardous and chemicals, support American manufacturing, and I get a benefit whenever you shop. Go to patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Thank you very much. That's a blessing to me. I want to start with this video. We'll play it, and then we'll talk about the law after. Here we go.
Life is about to change for every Australian. As much as Senator Gallagher seeks to downplay the significance of introducing one central digital identifier for each and every Australian, the reality is this is the most significant legislation I've seen in my time in the Senate. It's the glue that holds together the digital control agenda by which every Australian will be controlled, corralled, exploited, and then gagged when they speak or act in opposition. This bill will be misused because this bill is written to be misused. The government knows digital ID will be compulsory by the device of preventing access to government services, banking services, air travel and major purchases for any Australian who does not have a digital ID. The digital ID will in effect create a live data file of your movements, purchases, accounts and associates containing reference to every piece of data being held in the private and government sector as a first step in a wider agenda. Those listening at home may be wondering how an individual could avoid being drawn into this net of data, trading and surveillance. The simple answer is you can't. The government knows control will be used by government to identify people who say mean things on social media to speed up enforcement of our new laws against saying home truth to crazy or dishonest people. No hiding behind anonymous accounts or false addresses. You can expect a knock on your door at home, work or school, as we're seeing happening in other countries with digital identity already in.
All right, so the subtext of this is fear of the government. I just want to strike very clearly, very bluntly, and slow things down. God talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and understanding, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. So when we fear God more than anything else, we actually are looking at to him and what he says, and that's going to take center stage. Now, that right there is the solution. That right there is the solution. But because people have been trained to fear government, and I want to take a quick aside, if I can, and explore the idea of the book 1984, written by George Orwell, which at his time when he wrote it, 1984 was off into the future, like 30 years in the future. And 1984 is a book that's frequently taught in schools, in Americans, or, you know, in American schools. And it's even the point where if you haven't read the book, you know the references. So think about this. Why the fixation on the book 1984 to train into people's thinking that there could be a time when the government is so thoroughly in charge, such as portrayed in 1984, that you can't do anything about it, that it is absolutely in control. Now think about this. Psychologically, people, if they grant that premise, they've put an interpretation of their future as the government controls everything. So because right now they don't assess it as bad as then, but they see themselves on that trajectory, they will think, I have to deny and fight every single thing along the way because we can't get to that destination. I want to point out to you, my friends, that first, God knows the future and God prides himself on only him knowing the future. So despotic, dystopian, futuristic interpretations of reality are not true. They are representations. They are explanations of what someone made up in their mind. Now, this is where you have to come back to the Lord and fear him. And I'll get to the law here in a second. But understand very, very centrally, the idea is fear. It's fear. And if people fear their government, then they will grant those bad dystopian ideas mental real estate. They will let those ideas occupy like Trump Tower in the middle of Manhattan. He's going to build the tower, boom, right there in the middle of your brain. And it's going to be the highest thing, the highest elevation. It's going to be the greatest presence in the skyline. Your skyline, your mental skyline, will be defined by what you fear. So whatever buildings are being erected, whatever things are going to be destroyed and built up in their place, those are the things that you see in your brain. And if Americans have been taught to fear government as though by 1984 or the Communist Manifesto or any of these other dystopian books, they become a form of self-fulfilling prophecy so that whenever we hear someone from Australia say, this is the digital control agenda, as soon as you hear that, you give over. Yes, the digital control agenda is going to happen, and this is part of it, so we have to see it like that. And this is where I want to slow down, and I want to say that's not true. That's not true. Now, I've explained this system before, but I want to slow down. This is a drawing that I came up with. Now, it's based off of the doctrine of a public trust. The constitutions are public trusts. And I just want to walk you through it if I can. The top left, you start with the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And then you move on to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Just let me read that real fast. Verse 26 through 31 reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let God made men and said, the men have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, which is in the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good, it was very good. And the evening of the morning were the sixth day. Now, the reason why this is important, the Bible is God's word. Genesis 1 establishes who God is, that he created everything, and then it identifies, it explicitly tells you that God created man in his image to have dominion over everything. So if God made man in his image and then gave man dominion over everything, what on earth has dominion over man but God? Now see, this is where you'll get other interpretations, and they'll come in and they'll start to do all sorts of stuff like, well, actually the angels came in and Satan and Lucifer and then the Freemasons and all this. You understand you're giving your thoughts to not Jesus when you do this. You're giving yourself to not Christ. You're giving yourself to interpretations and spinoffs that the Bible ain't teaching you. So then we go to this death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel. The gospel was known before the foundations of the world. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and if we go to verse 10 through 12, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Now listen to this, because this is really cool. This is 1 Peter, let me get there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hold on, let me get you to be able to get the words. Hold on, let me do this real fast. All right, here's, nope. Sorry. Let's do this, producer of one. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we want to go 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So we're talking about the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it was testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, this is the prophets of the Old Testament having the Spirit of Christ testify about his sufferings. So Jesus was telling the prophets of the Old Testament that he would have sufferings and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. So the Old Testament prophets that had the Spirit of Christ telling them about his future sufferings, his future glory, the Old Testament prophets were ministering to us, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Peter is teaching us here in his epistle, he's telling us that the Old Testament prophesied of Christ's suffering, and that the Old Testament prophecy of Christ's suffering was done by the Spirit of Christ. Now, the reason why this is important is because when Jesus raises from the grave, that's that big explosion thing right there. This is Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. When Jesus came out of the grave and he's physically resurrected, he comes out and he says, I'll read it here. He comes out and he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got all power. Jesus has all power. When all the power is given to Jesus, listen to what he says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the reason why this is important is that because all authority was given to Jesus, and then Jesus turns around and tells his disciples, go teach the nations, it follows that people who believed that, like our founders in America, they recognized that people, ever since the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, were given dominion. So if Christ has all power, and Christ told his people to teach the nations his commandments, and at the very beginning of Genesis 1, the power was given to people to have dominion over the earth, then you have this arrangement where Jesus is now saying salvation is only through him, as it's always been the case. And part of that salvation is teaching the nations to observe all things he says. Do unto others, love your neighbor as yourself, do not covet, do not steal, do not fornicate, all these other things. Now, this is where our founders were brilliant. Our founders were brilliant. You see the we, the people, right there in the middle of the screen? Our founders, down left, reserved their rights to themselves. This means we reserve our rights to ourselves. One of the definitions of rights is power of free action. When Jesus says, go teach the nations, that's him giving us power. He's giving us the mission. He's giving us the purpose to go grant the power. Go do it. So then our founders, because they understood that power is given, power is prohibited, or power is reserved, which is what a trust is. The public trust is that there are originators of power. In government, the originator of power is people. So when people reserve their rights, they are keeping powers outside of government. So that whenever they write the constitutions downright, it says created, and it's got the picture of that little scroll right there. When the people created these constitutions, those constitutions do not include the powers of our rights. The rights are outside of the Constitution. And they're outside because we wrote them in the constitutions to say, you guys can't touch this. These are the things that you cannot touch. These are the things that we have guaranteed ourselves, and nothing in the power of government can touch them. That's what an express trust is. That's what it does. Express meaning written. Trust meaning that there's power granted and held for an account. If people are in government, if government has been given power, then there is an expectation that it's used for the purpose that it's given. So when Jesus says all power has been given to him, he is now in control. He is now on the throne. He is now the king. And so if he tells the people, go teach the nations, by his providence, the founders are Christians. The founders recognize, well, shoot, if God didn't want Israel to have a man king, an earthly king, 1 Samuel chapter 8, then let's go back to that situation where we rely on God and we recognize that we are all equal as men. And if we are all equal as men, we need to create and design a system of government that secures that it can't be violated. This is our constitutions. Constitutions are public trusts. The trust is created by the grantor. The government is created by the people. The people put power in government and then tell government what it can do by writing the words of the Constitution. The Constitution separates the government into a legislature, into an executive, and into a judicial. Those are distinct branches. None of them can use the powers of the other. If they do, they dissolve themselves. They violate the terms of the contract. They violate the terms of the Constitution. They attack the Constitution. They use prohibited powers. Remember how power is granted, reserved, or prohibited? Power is granted, reserved, or prohibited. So if something is prohibited and it's done, that means it is unlawful. What happens when you attack the Constitution? When you attack the Constitution, you are committing treason. Now, the reason why this is important, we go back to this digital identity right here. We go back to this thing right here. The reason why this is so important is that we have to understand, and I know the video comes from Australia, but we have to understand in America, we've got that express trust system. We've got that express trust system where the powers are defined, they're granted, they're prohibited. You need to understand your Constitution. The Australians are under the Crown. The Crown of England is the sovereign power in Australia. So the sovereign power in Australia is still going to destroy stuff. So let's bring up this concept sketch, this explain sketch, and we'll do this real fast. And I didn't draw as I was talking about it, so I was just going to talk about it. So let's, again, keep this in mind right there. Keep that in mind right there. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do the we the people and then the rights and the Constitution, okay? So here you go. Here's we the people. Here's your three heads, three bodies, legs, boom, boom, boom. Right? We the people. Come on, camera. You got we the people. Down here, we reserve rights. Okay? And then here, we create constitutions. Constitution. Constitution. Constitution's got the legislative. Constitution's got the executive. Constitution's got the judicial. So this is the frame of government, right? So if this is the case, now hold on, let me put this here. If this is the case, whenever you have someone creating digital identification in America, the legislature is passing statutes. So when these statutes come up and they create a digital ID, when these statutes create digital ID, what does this digital ID do? Now, the guy was talking about the digital control agenda. And he was saying that they're going to cut off services. They're going to cut off travel, right? Like planes and stuff. So they're going to cut off services. They're going to cut off travel. They'll probably cut off medical. They'll probably cut off banking, right? This is the stuff. These are the things that people are afraid of because these are the services, travel, medical, banking. Now think about this. If I say that if you don't have this, then you don't get to do banking. What do you immediately think of? You immediately think of your money. And it's a very quick and easy thing to understand. If I don't have money, I can't eat, can't pay for my house, can't do stuff. Medical. Oh no, I'm going to do medical. Oh no, what's that mean? I'm going to die. Well, here, heads up. You've already got Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. So you're guaranteed to die. So don't worry about it. Believe and obey the gospel. Amen. What about this right to travel? Right? You can't fly. You can't drive your car. You can't go outside of a 15-minute radius. You know, whatever. Right? So this right here, that's your liberty. Services, other services, like the government won't let you, think of a government service, like a driver's license or paving the roads or, just any government service that they do. They're going to deny you a government service based on not having an ID, right? Now, so think about this. This is where people are afraid. People take this, and this is fear. This is fear right here. Now, I want to tell you something, and I've done this multiple times, that this is presumed to be done lawfully. So if the people create the Constitution, which created the legislature, which creates the statutes, which creates the digital identification that lists out all these things, can the statutes write something that says you can't have liberty? if you reserved your rights and your rights include liberty? How does that work? This is why we send notice, an affidavit of your rights. This is how you assert your rights. You can send notice and affidavit by right to anybody in government. So if the legislature writes a statute that creates a digital identification that does all this stuff, you, by right, can send notice and affidavit directly to that legislature. Now, what this is doing, this is your right to controvert. We have a fighting system. You have the right to fight. So if the legislature passes a statute, creates a digital identification, the digital identification starts to restrict all this stuff, as soon as you are violated by one of these things, you can controvert. Controvert. You can fight. You can fight. How do you fight? Notice an affidavit. This is why you go to Real Dave Cares for You on Twitter and you learn how to, you learn this stuff. You learn how to controvert. You learn how to assert your rights in the law. You do it for free, by right, and you do it to anybody in government. Now, this is not what people are taught. What people are taught is they are downstream here. People are taught that there's a statute, right, that creates civil rights. Civil rights. Because they're going to treat you as a member of a political body. So then your civil rights, and this would be like your right to vote or to, you know, driver's license, you know, what else? You can buy stuff, right? So civil rights, right to vote, right to driver's license, right to buy stuff. But what's the problem? The problem is your civil rights and the digital identification are both statutory authorities. This is an authority, right? This is an authority that comes from where? The legislature. So if the legislature created the statute of digital identification and legislature created the statute of civil rights, these are equal. So if these are equal, you're going to have this that the government wants to do, a la 1984, where they want to control you. So then people will be like, I'm going to go fight for my rights. I'm going to fight my rights. I'm going to sue you and take you to court. And this is where people go here. And they do what? They go get themselves an attorney. And this is what the attorneys do. The attorney is going to argue rights that are in statutes that come from the legislature, that come from the Constitution that was created by people. When what you should do and what you have the right to do is whenever this stuff happens here, you smash it with this. Because this is the highest authority. Your rights are outside of the Constitution, right? There's a big wall. There's the private side here and there's a public side here. So your private rights are outside of the Constitution. So when the Constitution, which creates the legislature, which creates the statutes, which creates a digital identification, which has the effect of limiting where you can go, a la 1984, don't be afraid. What you need to do is stand here, send notice and affidavit of this directly to anybody in the government that is involved. And I'll tell this, and this is obviously what this is what Dave teaches, broad diffusion of knowledge. You need to tell everybody. You don't just send it to the one person who's messing with you. You send it to people in the executive. You send it to people in the judicial. You send it to multiple legislators. You send it to everybody. The reason why you send the broad diffusion of knowledge to everybody is because Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, let's read it. Hold on, where's my this? Let's read it. John chapter 8 and verse 32. The reason why we give the broad diffusion of knowledge. Let me look it up. John 8. Here we go. The reason why we give broad diffusion of knowledge. John 8. Where'd you go, 31? John 8, 31, 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People often argue and wonder, Jaron, how are you going to enforce it? You just send a notice and affidavit. Who cares? No one's going to do anything. No one cares. Jesus Christ, the one who said he has all authority, told us if we abide in his word and we know the truth shall make us free. Now, obviously, he's speaking about salvation. Obviously, he's speaking about salvation from sin. I believe Christ is so good that his words are pure and perfect, and they are applicable for all things. And so if the truth is correct in one instance, it is true in all instances. So if the truth shall make you free in salvation, for salvation of your souls, then the truth shall make you free in any litigation, in any crime, in any issue with the government. And let me walk you through what this looks like. If we actually do this, you got digital ID, right? And you can't do this. Who's going to do the banking stuff, right? Banks. Banks are going to do it. What are banks created by, or what are banks regulated by? Statutes. If you do medical, what's the medical people regulated by? Statutes. If you do travel, airplanes, cars, the such, what's all this stuff regulated by? Statutes. If you do services, you know, take out my trash or whatever else, what's that regulated by? The statutes. And what you do with the right to controvert is you make that the issue. You fight right there. You want that. I want your statutes against my rights. I want that all day long. I want it all day long. Because this is true. This is true. I want these people right here who swore to this document to regard these rights that are reserved out of this against all these derivative authorities. I want that fight all day long. That's what we want. That's what we want. So anyway, I want to give that to you. That's the idea. So for people who have this idea of, digital identification, they're going to cut off my banking, they're going to cut off travel, they're going to cut off this and that, you're giving your fear to not God. So give your fear to the Lord. Fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord and you recognize that there is power that God has and he has it all, and Jesus says, if you abide in his word, you'll be my disciple and you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. When you take the truth and you stand on it and you go directly at these people in love, no guns, no bullets. We're not fighting. I'm not fighting you. We're controverting. If you're coming to me with a presumption and your presumption comes from statutes, then I'm going to controvert. I'm going to go against. I'm going to controvert with my rights. That's what we do. That like basic game plan. Here's a statute, controvert with the right. Here's what the government says. Here's what the Constitution says. And you fight. And that right there, that controversy, that's where we win. That's where God gets the glory. And that's where the truth has the power. Now, the skeptics will look at this and say, well, this is sovereign citizen stuff, and this will get you in jail, and this will get you losing, and all this other stuff. I disagree. When you tell people what the Constitution says, when you just tell these people who are sworn to defend it what it says, they will get mad for sure. Absolutely they will. Because you're using a higher authority that destroys what they do. But they know they can't go against it. They know that. And if they continue to do it, this is why you give broad diffusion. If they continue to go against it, the more people are going to know. And the more people who know, this is where the truth works. And this isn't going to make sense to people who don't have ears to hear. Many people, the same types of people who have been trained to fear the government with 1984, are the same types of people that whenever they hear, just stand on the truth and tell people what the law is, that because they don't fear the Lord and they don't love the truth, they're not going to recognize that's the condition that God is telling you. If you give the truth and you stand on it in courage with bold faith and the whole odds are against you, that's when I'm going to show up. People don't recognize that. They don't recognize that telling the truth is how God, how Christ, in his sovereignty, in his providence, he has said, if you tell the truth, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to work through that. The word of the Lord will not return void. I'm going to lovingly, sincerely, honestly, courageously tell you what the truth is. And that's where God says, okay, I will show up. I will do stuff. I will do stuff at that point. And this, you know, this is why it's a faith thing. This is why it has to be a faith thing. Because the whole world will set up a system where it's transactional. Push this button and this happens. Push this and then this happens. Do this and this and this and this and this. And so you're not actually doing the law. You're just going through a procedure. There's no law there. It's all prescribed. You're treating my rights like you would anybody else's that's wedged in this box. You can't do that. You can't do that. So it's an issue of faith, which is, it comes down to fear. Do you fear the government or do you fear God? And I'll just say this, like, most of these people who speak about the digital ID and all this other kind of things, they're not taking the time to know what the Constitution say, and they're definitely not taking the time to go before the issue becomes an issue. Like, don't wait for the government to come to you. You go to it. Go to the government and tell them they're wrong. Go to the government and say, here's where I'm swearing under penalty of perjury that you violated this law. Show me where I'm wrong. People won't think like that until they no longer have a fear of government. When you lose your fear of government because you fear the Lord, you will recognize, wait, we created this thing. Why are we scared of the thing that we created? We're supposed to dominate this thing. We're supposed to have dominion and have it benefit us. The master has become the servant, which is why there's corruption everywhere. So, anyway, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is that Jesus came virgin born into this world. He was God's servant insofar as he came to seek and to save that which is lost, to bring the gospel message, to be the atoning sacrifice. When he took the cross, he did so out of obedience. He did so out of love. He did so because there's no other salvation but through the blood of Jesus Christ. He was tortured. He was abused. He was denied. He was betrayed. He was unlawfully prosecuted, unjustly convicted, horribly condemned, and crucified on that cross. The greatest, worst, most excruciating pain came from the Roman cross, and Jesus took it while he was perfect. He took it. He didn't deserve it. He took it on purpose. He took it out of obedience. He took it out of love. When Jesus died, he was buried. 3 days later, he physically rose from the grave. We spoke about it earlier where Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth are given to me. But the significance of Jesus Christ's resurrection, first and foremost, it shows that he's got the power of life over death. So the three components of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, at the point of the death, his blood will wash away your sins. So now you will not be condemned for your sins against God. You know those secret sins? The lusts, the pride, the deceits, hating other people, doing those things. Even the secret, super secret sins you know about and nobody else knows about. Those are sins first and foremost against God. And when you sin against God, you deserve, I deserve eternal torment. We deserve hell because God is so holy and so mighty. But Jesus' blood washes away those sins. But see, it doesn't just end there. Whenever he was buried, he's dead, and the rock is put in front of the tomb, it shows the sin died with him. He was dead, absolutely dead. Because he died, our sin died with him. And then whenever he rose from the grave, that shows that he's got power of life over death. So if it was only he atones for your sin, well, then there's no life after death. But because, as Paul preaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because he rose from the grave, that's where our hope is. Our hope of salvation is the fact that because he washed away our sin and because he rose from the grave, we have life over death and the assurance of salvation. God is good. He tells the truth. He does not lie. He keeps and performs his word. So if you believe this, you've heard this, if you believe this, the response and the call, the invitation is to obey. You need to obey the gospel, which means you're turning away from your sin. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, the reason why this is important is that this is how you are receiving God's offer. God makes the offer of salvation. He invites you. He calls you. He says, here it is. The response to that is the obedience of the gospel. The obedience of the gospel is that you repent of your sin, you're baptized in his name, and you will be added to the church. The people who are going to heaven are the people who are in Christ's church. We are his bride. We are the ones he died. We are the ones that he saves. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Obey the gospel, my friends. I'd like to direct your attention one last time, if I could, to patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Bless the ministry. It's a blessing to my family. When you shop, you take the money you're already spending, switch it over to American manufacturing. When you do that, you get better products delivered right to your door. This is just internet window shopping, folks. That's all it is. You buy better products online. They ship directly to your door. It's just in a company that you've never heard of because it's a private membership association and it's not like Walmart or Costco. The benefit of that is the fact that the products are better. They've had no liability claims in over 40 years of business. But also, you don't have the ability for these woke corporate godless commies to buy a seat at the corporate table, to change the corporate values, to advertise despotic or satanic messages, the trans stuff. That doesn't happen because this company isn't a publicly traded company. Sign up at patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Myself or somebody with me will be in touch. Till next time, my name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit. Go to war.